Now let's see what I have to work with. So let's see, how far can I go? How outrageous can we get before the red light comes on? All the way. It's going to take more than 3 days and nights in a field to do that. You've heard the rumors, I'm certain. Well. So, masters, what do you suppose dimensional means? You know, it's your language. What does it mean? Well, you know, you came here. Must have meant something to you. What is dimensional? All right, we'll make it not so hard. What is dimension? Dimension. Too hard. What does the word measurement mean? Measurement. Come on. To measure. What is the act of measuring? Turn to your neighbor and explain it to them. I have to do this again. Come on, what is it? Can you explain dimensional, dimension, or measure? Now let us define mind. Mind. Dimensional mind. It's what you came here to learn about. I thought it important that you should be able to ascribe a definition to what it is that you decided to participate in, so that you would have an understanding as to why you're here. Dimensional. Dimensional is that which is termed a term that is evolved from Greek language, which means to measure. Now, when we say a dimension, we're really saying a measurement. Now, the measurement taken of a linear object will be beginning and end, and that which is in between. So, if we said that an object is three dimensions, we would say then that an object has three measurements. And what are those measurements? Well, tell me again. What would be the fourth dimension?
Time.
Now, so all objects in the material world, objects, notice I said objects that are things, they contain for the most part three dimensions. And they also contain a fourth dimension, which is time. So if we say then that we are going to entitle this event dimensional mind, we'd have to define mind. Because mind is a product of consciousness and energy worked upon the brain, produces the effect called mind. Now, mind is constituted, in your case, of about 90% memory and 10% experience. So the brain's volume of stored information, 90% of it is memorized. 10% of it will be what we call a quickening, or knowing, or experience. So then, the mind of a three-dimensional person is equal to the constructs of objects. Now, this is fascinating because it means that in order for you to live in the external world, you have to be able to recognize that world by its measurement. So, in order to be able to recognize the external world by its measurement, you need a lot of sensors to be able to do that. and thus has created sight and hearing and smell and taste and feeling and hearing. All of these are aggregates that come together to produce an effect in the brain about the stimulus of the outside world. So you define the world you live in three dimensions. It's measurable, in other words. Now you call that the real world because it can be measured in science. So, if that then is the sum total of your mind, then what have we got on our hands here? We have a memorized external world, memorized in terms of theoretical three dimensions, which means is that most of the things in the external world you've only read about, or someone has taught you, but you have not engaged it as an experience. So you hold a thing that you read about as a three-dimensional potential inside the human brain only as memory. And that's the reason why when your eyes finally see the thing you've read about, you can recognize it. Say, ah, there's a tree. I know that's a tree because I have it in memory. And I studied the tree. Studied the tree. That means that the entity went to the trouble, theoretically, of measuring common tree. Height, width, depth. When he measured that, then he logged that information as bits of memory or chemical stimulus in the brain. When he finally saw a tree in the external world, he saw the tree in a four-dimensional form because the tree he studied was a still life, but it contained different sides of it, so it was a three-dimensional object. When he saw it for real, it moved, and movement is the fourth dimension called time. So, here we are possessing a mind, as it were, that is equal to what the brain has been able to store or fabricate according to theoretical or memorized teaching. Are you with me? Now, it's a little disarming to think that 90% of the knowledge that you possess is memorized. 90%, 10%, and that is a high number. 10% of it has been experienced. Now, we could call that knowing or truth. Everything else is memory. So the mind, then, that we're looking at that produces your personality is made up of the following things. It indeed is made up of that which is termed memorized theoretical data consisting of three dimensions, objects that are indigenous to the external world according to your reality. So in other words, you can only see in the external world what you've memorized in your brain. If something appeared before you that you had no memory of, you would not be able to see it or identify it. 10% means that you experience the fourth dimension of the object, which is time, the movement of that particular object, the experience. So you have a little bit of truth and a lot of theory. Now, how does that interact? What is then, to answer the question, what am I present now? What you are is that you are a mind that is held in place by a grid, and from the grid makes up your genetic character, your personality, your intellect. Your intellect is 90% memory and 10% experience. And the grid is hereditary. So, to say that you have a dimensional mind, we would say then to you as students of this school that the sum total of your ability to manifest will be your ability to manifest it in three-dimensional form. So what about fourth dimension and the fifth dimension? How about the 12th dimension? Why can't you manifest in the 12th dimension, even the 7th dimension? Do they exist? Absolutely. But now here's the dilemma as a student. As a student, all the things that you have learned most of them have been from memory, such as red. Most of the things that you know have been on-the-spot experience, and most of those have come from your grid. And they're containerized in little boxes, and most of those have attached with them the subtle energy of fear, anxiety, passion, desire, want, lack, limitation. All of those emotional stigmas is where that energy is locked up at. So we could say that those are knowingness, are knowings in progress. So how do you teach a body, an orgas body, of desirable people about the subtler dimensions when in fact they have not even experienced the theoretical ones that they have memorized in their brain? And this is the other dilemma. Does then the fifth dimension and its explanation also become a memory? And to what standard must I teach you about a dimension that is fifth, sixth, and seventh? How do I teach you about such a dimension without you thinking about it in three-dimensional terms? Those of you in the great essay will begin to understand what I'm talking about here.